all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
I know that guy. Hey, Wisconsin, good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota. It's another beautiful day up north, and it's another cold morning up north on this Wednesday, April 26th, 2023. 25 degrees right now up here on Lake Wissota, 29 in Wausau, 30 in Waukesha, Green Bay coming in at 33, Oshkosh at 37. It's just still that cold out there for this time of year. So keep that in mind for kids heading out to the bus stop, or even those of us just heading outside for a moment. I head out to the garage in the driveway before my wife leaves for work, just before the show. We enjoy how much earlier the sun is getting up. And then I remember I'm outside in short sleeves and it is not that kind of weather yet. So just keep that in mind. Coming up on the show today, when it comes to helping families and the economy in Wisconsin, some questions for you. Is a tax cut for millionaires and billionaires as effective as affordable health care, accessible child care, good schools? Is it better that the newly unemployed learn a skill to get a better paying job? Or should they be squeezed financially into taking any low-wage job and threatened with a loss of health insurance if they don't? Do you fix the labor shortage by making poor moms poorer? Or do you find a way to make childcare more affordable so they can get back into the workforce? We will talk to State Representative Alex George today about a legislature that is busy debating. Yes, seriously, they're debating the answers to these questions. So we'll talk about that throughout the course of the morning. We will then wrap things up visiting with Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show, heard on some of the stations here across the Civic Media Network. But for right now, at 8 past the hour, we welcome in Aaron Zommers from our studio in Madison. Mr. Z, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
It is, well, you're in a t-shirt too, but it's still just a little too chilly to have nothing but that on when you're outside.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I had to de-ice my windshield again this morning. Been a while since I had to do that.
You kind of get the tennis elbow thing going with the scraper, you know. You're not used to doing that over and over again, especially this late in the year, right? Still having to de-ice.
Yeah, at least it was just a thin layer of frost, so it wasn't too bad.
No, again, it could be worse. We've had some winters where the snowpack hangs on, you know, even later, or we could be facing a bunch of cold, rainy days and things like that. So we're definitely in a better place that way. But still, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind some warmer weather finally showing up here.
Or it's returning.
Returning would be good. Yeah, maybe not 90 just yet, but something close to it.
Somewhere in between.
Happy, is it happy anniversary? What is it that we wish ourselves here on our 100th morning show together?
I don't know. I don't know. Happy, just happy 100. Happy 100.
Happy 100. There we go. See, if I'd have been thinking, I would have had a cake sent to you this morning or something. But yeah, as I was looking at the show notes, I'm like, hey, this is number 100 here. We did 60 some shows, you know, in the mid morning from 8 to 11 before we started doing this move to 6 o'clock in the morning. We are so appreciative to everybody who moved along with us and listens in for these couple of hours all across the Civic Media Radio Network. But here we are. Does it feel like 100 to you? Probably feels like 1,000 to you.
Well, no, since I was not here for the beginning of the show. So,
well, that was just the first few shows where, you know, Luke was my training wheels, Luke Mathers. And, you know, at some point he had to turn things over because he's got his own little afternoon show that he's got to do. But, you know, you between you doing all those shows for me and then for Todd Alba as well, you've got quite a few notches on your belt already.
I suppose
you're a grizzled professional.
I don't know if I would say grizzled yet, but on grizzling.
Grizzling. There we go. We're getting there. Partially grizzled. So again, thanks to everybody. As you hear the headlines that we're doing today, those questions that I asked earlier about the right way to fix the economy. Look, I think a lot of you already know the answer. And so it's not that, you know, anybody's going to have any new ideas. We really just have to talk to people about adopting the proposals that are out there. but maybe you have some thoughts on that and how you convince certain people that, you know, again, trickle-down economics, it doesn't work. How about we actually help people and understand that the safety net, needs to still be there and is not the big fat hammock it is that people like to say it is, because again, we have more people working than ever before in the state. We have fewer people on unemployment than ever before. So listen to our ideas, listen to the real people that we're going to play for you this hour. And if you have ideas or a reaction, call us up at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Or send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI there. And again, that's if you're listening on the radio. If you're watching us on Facebook, we're on three different Facebook pages there. You can put a comment on, and we may put that up on screen. Again, we're at the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, and the page for Bull Falls Radio. And a reminder as well that you can take Up North News Radio along with you. You can do it either as a podcast and listen on demand as we post each hour's show as a different podcast episode, or you can listen through the Civic Media app, and we appreciate that as you take us along with you. All right, we'll take a look again at those headlines that were being debated in Madison yesterday. So whether you're up early with me on the radio or listening to Uplifting Stories with Christina Laurie, or getting up to date on social media news and features with Sherita Booker, you can catch all of our work at Up North News WI. We appreciate it so much, and Up North News Radio continues after this. Hey, if a little disco music is what it takes to get you up in the morning, that's fine, because coming up in our history lesson and music break at 6:50, we have multiple disco entries for some reason, not all of them song-related, but person-related, or you'll learn something about the technology that led to disco. That's all coming up later this hour. Tomorrow on the program, Senator Tammy Baldwin joins us live at 7:30, and we'll talk about semiconductor production in the U.S., which I know sounds a little far afield, but again, we've been relying on manufacturing done in other countries to create those tiny little semiconductor chips that power everything. And so one big push to turn around the national economy is to bring that production back home. And there will be several large manufacturing operations located in parts of the country as part of this new national program. Wisconsin will not be one of the sites for the manufacturing, but there will also be sites that are dedicated to research and development and education. And Senator Baldwin is pushing to have Wisconsin be designated as one of those regional technology hubs. So we'll find out more about that tomorrow from Senator Tammy Baldwin here in the second hour of Up North News Radio. And again, a reminder that we're talking to State Representative Alex Jors in our next hour. First, some sports at 6:17. The Brewers have now lost three games in a row. So it's an official losing streak for the first time in the season. And that's because, once again, just one bad inning by the Brewers pitchers let the other team, in this case Detroit, get a lead, and the Brewers bats just couldn't answer. So after losing the last game of the series to Boston, they've now dropped two to the lowly Tigers. Let's see, there was 4-3 was the final. It was the shortest start for Brewers pitcher Eric Lauer in five starts this season. In just over three innings, he threw 85 pitches. Lauer had won his previous two starts, but just didn't have it, and neither did the bats. In the eighth inning, the Brewers had a leadoff double by Luke Voit, but then Willy Adames struck out, Rowdy Tellez struck out, William Contreras struck out. Brewers will play the Tigers one more time. That is an afternoon game today, a little matinee over at American Family Field. They are off tomorrow, but they stay in Milwaukee as the Anaheim Angels come to town for a three-game series starting on Friday. And the Milwaukee Bucks will try to stave off elimination in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Miami is up on them 3-1 in this first round of the NBA playoffs, and they will play at 8:30 tonight at the Fiserv Forum coming up in Milwaukee. There was the discussion yesterday about President Joe Biden announcing his reelection campaign. Again, not the world's biggest surprise, but it holds off any untoward speculation, you know, about will he run, will he not run? Yes, he's running already. Let's be done with that. And he made an announcement where he basically is asking voters to, you know, finish the job he began when he was sworn into office. And I think it leads to a theme that I probably will hit on a lot, and I hope you do too in your conversations with folks. The thrust of some of the national reporting yesterday was on opinion polling about popularity. Let us talk for just a brief moment about popularity versus policy. Popularity is, you know, do you want to have a beer with this person? It is, you know, does this person, are they charismatic on TV and whatnot? Policy is, can they get the job done? You know, it's often been said that, you know, some of our greatest leaders from the past, you know, your Abe Lincolns and others, would have never been elected in this era of, you know, television and where everything has to be, you know, instant rebuttal on Twitter and things like that. So who's got the policies that work for you? Well, over at UpNorthNewsWI.com, we have an article about President Biden's announcement. And it's not just about whether people want him to run or not, whether they think his age is a factor or not, but it's about the policy. What did he get done? How many times do I say it? It's about getting the work done. And this article is about the things that Biden has done, and with a Democratic Congress, his first 2 years in office, to get things done. And then also woven through that article is a reminder that President Biden has never taken Wisconsin for granted. Wisconsin was his first official domestic stop after he became president. It was a frequent stop when he was making sales pitches for what became the bipartisan infrastructure law. It was his first stop this year after the State of the Union address. I believe he learned a lesson from a past presidential candidate in that you do not take Wisconsin for granted. So again, that article at UpNorthNewsWI.com is a bit more about not just, you know, how do we feel about Joe Biden or Donald Trump? Because our feelings don't nominate the candidates. The political parties nominate the candidates. And so you may want all kinds of other people to run, but we know which candidates we're going to get. And it's time to compare them on the policies that they're going to get done for us rather than, you know, who's got the TV commercial that scares you the most or inspires you the most. And that brings us to yesterday's session of the Wisconsin State Assembly at the Capitol in Madison, where there was a theme to the seven or eight bills that were taken up yesterday. They all were part of a package designed by Republicans, sold under the guise of efficiency, fiscal conservatism, integrity, responsibility, but really the overarching thing was addressing Wisconsin's labor shortage. And Wisconsin's labor shortage is real at nearly all levels, and then especially so in some higher skilled occupations. And so in our textbook world, our fairy tale world, a state legislature would have a robust discussion about what are some of the ways that we can address this? What are the things that we can do either directly as government or indirectly through policies, incentives, disincentives, you know, things like that, you know, tax credits or subsidies or what have you, not official government programs per se. These are the things that elected officials could be talking about. But that didn't really get done yesterday because the bills that Republicans put forth yesterday were designed by and large to make sure that people who were newly unemployed would receive fewer unemployment benefits. They would face stricter qualification requirements to get benefits, including health insurance under Medicaid. Basically, it was, beat up on the poor's day, as some people, like to call it. Rather than saying, how do we get folks, you know, back into the workforce, or people who have dropped out of the workforce for certain reasons, there are things that can bring them back in. If only the legislature and Congress as well would talk about them. So I listened to a good part of the session yesterday, and of course, being a member of the Wisconsin State Senate a million years ago, I'm familiar with these debates. And I had to chuckle when at some point it always becomes clear what the debate has turned into. And on the one side of the aisle, on the Republican side of the aisle, they have talking about being stewards of the tax dollars, as opposed to, I don't know, stewards of the people and looking out for them. There was this talk about people on Medicaid forcing them to talk repeatedly or to reapply and to requalify repeatedly. And the way that they said ineligibles, they talked about the ineligibles on Medicaid as, you know, the way that they talk about illegals. And so you have all of this about protecting the integrity and the eligibility and the tax dollars. Meanwhile, for every Republican that would stand up and talk like that, you'd have a Democrat standing up talking about human beings, talking about people, talking about the moms and dads to a degree, but the moms especially who actually would like to go back to work, but they can't because childcare is either inaccessible or unaffordable. Or right now, Medicaid is their only option because the only jobs that are out there don't offer health insurance. There was the people who have tried to apply for unemployment relief, especially during the pandemic, but had trouble getting through the bureaucracy. The Republicans' answer was to continue to slash the budget. And Democrats would say, how about if you actually fund these programs so that there isn't such a backlog of people waiting for unemployment? In other words, you have once again Republicans claiming government doesn't work, and then they slash and burn it to prove their point, which seems rather odd, but it's what they do. Let's take a moment and listen to two women, Brooke Skidmore, a group center owner, and AJ Dixon, who recently closed her restaurant. They spoke at a press conference yesterday about things that they think the Joint Finance Committee should be working on instead.
I've been in this industry for 10 years, and it's not good. If we do not support childcare, families are not going to be able to work. If the Joint Finance Committee wants to truly tackle the workforce issue, then one of the best routes to go is to support early childcare. Right now, parents do not have a choice. They are choosing either between their housing and childcare, food and childcare, medical and childcare. Myself at my center, we serve a variety of parents. I have police officers, nurses, I have construction workers, plumbers, pharmacists. I have a whole array of people that need to work, are desperately needed. And if I have to raise my rates anymore, I've already heard from some that they will have to quit their job. The only option is for their employers to increase their pay. So it's a vicious cycle if the Joint Finance Committee chooses not to support it. And given that 81% of voters in Wisconsin do support childcare, then we have to wonder why it wouldn't be supported. We have to think about what our priorities are in Wisconsin.
A lot of them are on Badger Care. A lot of them end up cutting their hours down to stay on Badger Care. We shouldn't punish the current workforce for trying to have access to health care. What we should be doing is giving them access to health care, encouraging them that having, you know, a job and being able to afford health care is important. It creates a healthier workforce, along with paid family medical leave, also creates a healthier workforce. Families shouldn't have to choose between going to work sick or not going to work at all to take care of their loved ones. 90,000 Wisconsinites would benefit from Badger Care with a public option. A lot of those people are your friends, a lot of them are your family members, and a lot of them deserve to be taken care of. We deserve to take care of our people. Together, we should be working to do this, to build a stronger and healthier economy, to build stronger people, to build a stronger workforce, and to encourage and grow. What we're not doing is encouraging and growing. We're punishing those that try.
Again, the words of Brooke Skidmore, a Group Center owner, and AJ Dixon, who just left the restaurant industry because of the way times are tough and our leaders are not helping those workers and customers the way that they should. We'll continue this discussion and share a few congratulations on our 100th show. Thank you guys for doing that. All coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
We're having a very small party for ourselves for morning show number 100 today. Joanne, thank you for the congrats on the 100th show. And let's see, we got also Robert, many congrats for number 100 and many more to come. We appreciate that so much. You can put those comments on our Facebook page. Just look for Up North News WI or on the Civic Media Facebook page. In that case, look for civicmedia.us. Before the break, we were talking about the debate that's taking place in Madison. Look, Washington, every place else, about the things that you can be working on that provide a kickstart to the economy. We have recovered from the recession to some very nice levels, but as Joe Biden would say, the job isn't done. You know, there's still more work to be done. And how do you do that? Well, we've talked just a bit about maybe helping people with childcare, with healthcare, with training for a new skill, you know, paid family leave so that people don't have to leave the workforce when, you know, a family member gets really sick. We haven't even talked about in this hour affordable housing or transportation issues or workforce training. There are all of these options that could be looked at. And keep in mind, the state has a $7 billion surplus. Yes, folks, it's April 26th, and Republicans are still sitting on $7 billion and not putting it to work for you and for the rest of the state. What were they doing yesterday instead? Well, along with, on the assembly side, these bills to punish people who need assistance, on the Senate side, there was a committee hearing yesterday on a bill that is going nowhere. Actually, none of these bills are going anywhere. Most of the bills in the assembly yesterday are the exact same bills that passed a year ago that Governor Tony Evers vetoed. It's as if he's going to veto it again, and I hope he puts a sticky note on there that says, "You learned nothing. Did you think the pen was going to run out of ink?" So anyway, those were identical bills from last year in the assembly. Meanwhile, over in the Senate, a Senate committee debated one bill, a pet project of the Senate Republican leader, Devin Lemahieu, that also is not going to pass. In fact, even some Assembly Republicans and others in the legislature say, no, they're not going to support it, and Governor Evers is going to veto it. That one bill that they spent time on yesterday, spent your tax dollars on yesterday, would create a flat tax in Wisconsin, meaning that while the lowest income households that pay income taxes would still be paying around 3.5% for an income tax rate, the wealthiest, the millionaires, the billionaires, whose current tax bracket is about 7.5%, it would bring them down to 3.5%, same as the lowest income households. And that would mean about $5 billion less for roads, for schools, for whatnot, with no mechanism for making that up. It's just, well, you know, slash whatever is needed so that we can have this giant tax cut at the highest income levels. Again, the bill's not going anywhere, but there was a small parade of witnesses on behalf of the 1% coming in and talking to this committee. And Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat of Madison, bless her. I was watching the committee hearing, and she at one point turned to one of these, you know, so-called experts who was making noise about how people, this gets me every time. Gets me, even when I was first running for legislature and people would tell me this argument and I'd just look at them and they'd say, well, if I'm making, you know, why would I take a raise if it's going to put me in a higher tax bracket? Why would I take a pay raise, whether it's from, you know, $10 an hour to $15 an hour, or whether it's $99,000 a year to $100,000 a year, or wherever the cutoff is for a particular tax bracket. I hear about this disincentive to work. And you can hear in this soundbite from Senator Kelda Royce, what she's saying in so many words is, are you kidding me?
We have millions of people in this state and in this country that are working very hard for wages that do not allow them to live a reasonable life, that don't allow them to meet their basic needs, much less those of their families. And I think it's quite a stretch to imagine that they're paying attention to what their marginal state tax rate is and thinking, oh, if only, you know, they decrease taxes on the wealthy, well, then I could certainly have the time and the money to, you know, get myself an associate's degree or get my CNA or get something else that would allow me to get a little bit higher wage job. I think it's, I just can't see how that meets the common sense test.
That is the kind way of putting it. Senator Devin LeMahieu, the Republican leader, has said that Wisconsin's top tax bracket is increasingly out of line with other states, and that those high tax rates, again, 7.5% for millionaires, those high tax rates hurt our ability to attract and retain workers. To which I saw somebody on social media respond, wait a minute, we can't attract workers who are making, let me check my notes here, $374,600, which is what puts you in the highest tax bracket. And this person rightly commented, there is no institution in Wisconsin more out of touch to reality today than your Wisconsin legislature. Because that to them is what the big problems are, or the big solutions to the problems that we have. I don't want to turn our radio program into C-SPAN, but I did wish I could bring more of the audio up from the people who were knocking down these points. You had, and they've been on our show before, Representative Francesca Hong, Representative Christina Shelton, Representative Lisa Subek, and others, each one making these perfect points about how about you help people? Not that millionaires and billionaires aren't people. What I mean by that is there's a whole lot of other people in the middle class who would benefit. Governor Tony Evers is proposing a 10% tax cut for everybody with lower and middle incomes. A 10% income there spread across all those folks is going to do a lot more good. It is the Foxconn theory. Again, for Scott Walker and Republicans in the legislature, it was, let's take $3+ billion, actually $4 billion by the time you talk about local road aid and things like that. Let's send about $4 billion into one project in one corner of the state. When we were saying at the time, what about if it, just hear me out, instead of that, how about we take that $4 billion and we spread it all around the state? That's what Governor Evers has done with the Main Street Bounce Back Grants. Some nearly 10,000 businesses getting these $10,000 grants. They don't need $3 billion. $10,000 can do you a lot of good when you're a small business, and you can put that to work in the local economy and do a lot more good there. And that's what you should be doing with tax cuts, and that's what you should be doing with the state surplus. At least I think so. Maybe your ideas are different, and I would like to hear about them at 844-967-2789, or the line up north is 715-388-7155. Either tell me what we're all missing about why you should be slashing the top tax rate first and why you should be punishing people who are already on medical assistance. Tell me why that's the higher priority, if you can. I'd love to hear about it. You can email us as well, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put some comments on the live video feed of the show that we have on the Facebook page for Up North News and for Civic Media. and for Bull Falls Radio, our station in Wausau as well. I mentioned the other day that there was some constitutional shenanigans going on in Ohio, and I wanted to do a follow-up on that with you. On Monday, we outlined the way that Republicans in Ohio are moving forward with a plan to short-circuit the process of amending their state's constitution so that a minority of conservative voters would have an easier time blocking the will of the majority of voters. Basically, they know that folks who favor abortion rights for women are going to have enough signatures in time for the next November's ballot to put up a constitutional amendment that restores the reproductive rights that women had under Roe v. Wade. So Republicans in the legislature, if you missed this earlier, are trying to short circuit that by quickly having an August referendum that says, well, any future constitutional amendments can't pass with a simple majority. They got to reach 60%. In other words, a minority, you know, of 41% could block the will of the majority. Well, it's not quite that level of constitutional tinkering in Wisconsin, but it's close. As first reported last week in the Isthmus by Stephen Walters and then over the weekend by the Wisconsin State Journal, Republicans are looking at how they lost the recent state Supreme Court race, how they have lost most of the last several statewide elections, and they are considering a plan to amend the state constitution in order to lock in Act 10 and some of the other anti-labor, anti-public education provisions that are the hallmarks of the Scott Walker administration and the Republican gerrymandered dominance of the Wisconsin legislature. What they would do is they would sugarcoat these constitutional amendments as quote unquote worker freedom and what was it, school freedom, and say, how about if instead of just Act 10, we actually make this a constitutional amendment? Then, of course, you can have these multi-million dollar political ads that run and try to convince voters that, yeah, that sounds like mom and apple pie. We'll go for that. When what's going to happen instead is you're going to have more millions of dollars spent by folks to remind voters those are actually attacks on workers. And when you talk about school freedom, what they're talking about is protecting what the Frankenstein monster they have created here in Wisconsin, where you, the taxpayer, are now paying for two parallel school systems in Wisconsin. Once upon a time, it was, let's create a public school system so that everybody, no matter what a kid's, you know, parents have an income, big or small, they have an access to education instead of just only the people with money get to go to private school. So we created a public school system in this state. And where we've gone instead now is a system that says, well, let's also kick some tax money over to these private schools, these religious schools, these schools that don't have nearly the accountability, nearly the requirements that public schools do, and also do not perform any better than public schools do. So when you really strip it down like that, you are paying for two parallel school systems in Wisconsin. And what Republicans are talking about doing now is wrapping that up in the guise of education freedom or something like that and putting it up as a constitutional amendment over the next couple of years. You know, it takes a couple of years to get an amendment through the legislature. It's got to pass in two sessions and then go to the voters. So this isn't something that's going to happen right away. This is your heads up that it is being talked about. It is on the way. It is being proposed by a group, by a conservative think tank that is looking to protect the legacy of Scott Walker. By the way, that think tank, their most recent honorary national chair was a guy named Scott Walker. So there might be some self-serving going on in that. And again, you know, one last gasp, as some Democrats in the news articles were quoted as saying, to hold on to the power that they had through the gerrymander. All right, we will take a break in just a sec here. We will have our daily history lesson. We'll take a little music break. We will get to Harry Belafonte at some point as well, either in this next segment and or the next hour as well, and talk about his legacy in music, in acting, but most importantly, in civil rights and the difference that he was able to make in America by not just sitting comfortably. Many other folks sit comfortably when they're able to get to a higher tax bracket, a higher level of social status. Harry Belafonte didn't do that. So we'll talk about that at some point. But first, we visit with Melissa Kay from WFHR, locally grown radio, and talk about history and music next. You're up north. Tell you what, classics never go out of style. There's Meatloaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Melissa Kay joins us from locally grown radio, WFHR. Hello.
Good morning, Pat.
Yeah, I honest to God, I'm going to get you that jingle. I'm going to get to the recording studio one of these days. I'm going to get the Lake Wasota Orchestra behind me, and we're gonna do this upright.
Aaron on his drums and guitar.
That's right.
At the same time.
At the same time. He is really good that way. What's new in your neck of the woods?
Oh, you know, just living, loving life. Working hard.
That's
work
great.
Never ends.
No, it never does. So I'm glad that we can every so often take a break, find out what's happening up by you, and have you listen in as we think about what's in the history books for this day. So let me explain. Paradise by the Dashboard Light is up for this reason. It was on this day in 1977. And keep that year in mind, 1977. It was on this day that legendary composer Jimmy Steinman premiered a play called Neverland. It was a futuristic rock version of Peter Pan at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. A few months later, three of the songs that he wrote for the show ended up on Meatloaf's seminal album, Bat Out of Hell, which would become one of the 10 best-selling albums of all time. The other songs were You Took the Words Right Out of My Mouth and Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. Not bad for Jimmy Steinman as a songwriter, huh?
No.
He would go on to write all of these other basically anthem-esque songs, you know, like Total Eclipse of the Heart, It's All Coming Back to Me Now by Celine Dion, where all this orchestration,
really?
That's all the late Jimmy Steinman. So that was his play that premiered on this day in 1977. Also on this day in 1977, that same day, the most famous club of the disco era, Studio 54, opened for business. Called Studio 54 because it was at 254 West 54th Street in New York City. And you know who was among the first guests at Studio 54? When you think disco, do you think Donald Trump?
I was going to say John Travolta, but
look, it was a who's who of music and Hollywood and everything else, but it notes that on that opening day, opening night, I suppose, Donald Trump and his then wife Ivana were there.
Well, how nice.
Also on this day in 1977, as Donald Trump was going in there with Ivana, Melania, the future Melania Trump, his third wife, was busy celebrating her 7th birthday.
Ooh,
that just feels icky.
Icky.
Melania Trump, it's her birthday today. Born this day in 1970, so she is 53 years old today.
Wow.
Channing Tatum is 43. I don't know much about his work. I'm guessing you've seen Magic Mike, 12 times, 13 maybe, and are familiar with Channing Tatum?
Not once, no.
I love this look! This look like, nope, don't throw me under the bus, Kreitlow. I am not here to drool over Channing Tatum, which is funny because most of us guys would. You know, he's just a beautiful human being and funny, too. All right, we mentioned there would be a couple of disco notes. Not just that Studio 54 opened, but this is the birthday of the father of disco, an Italian composer, songwriter, producer by the name of Giorgio Moroder. He is 83 years old today. And it was his contributions to the new genre of electronic music that paved the way for disco. Mm. And then on this day in 1969, Switched on Bach, an album by Wendy Carlos, hit number one. This is an album that first really used Moog synthesizers to revitalize several Bach compositions and begins popularizing the synthesizer, which would also help out in the disco era. Did you ever think you were going to learn this much about disco in one morning?
I didn't, you know. I mean, I've been reading about some sad disco music in a book I'm reading, but that's
sad disco music
I've gotten lately. Well, it's The Martian, and he's stuck on Mars, and all he's got is disco music on somebody's thumb drive. So,
hey, that wouldn't be the worst thing. You know, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy when you start to hear that one cassette tape that Chris Pratt has with him all the time.
Right.
That's some damn good music. All right. Another 70s singer, but we get away from disco now. Gary Wright is 80 years old today. He's best known for Dreamweaver, but also this one, Love is Alive. So again, Gary Wright is 80 years old today. Melissa, how old is Carol Burnett today?
Ooh, I don't know.
90.
Oh, I was going to say 80-something.
It is Carol Burnett's 90th birthday.
Wow.
Also, it's not exactly a birthday, but William Shakespeare was baptized on this day in 1564. We know the date he was baptized. We don't know the actual date of his birth.
Oh, well, he was born in Christ today.
There you go. And so, yeah, he was just 400 years older than me and a bunch of the rest of us today. The Chernobyl nuclear disaster occurred on this day in 1986. On this day, also in 1986, Van Halen proved that there is life after David Lee Roth when their album 5150, the first one with Sammy Hagar as lead singer, hit number one in the U.S. with hits like Love Walks In. And look, I'll be the first one to tell you, I liked David Lee Roth fronting Van Halen, and I liked Sammy Hagar as an individual singer. I was not sure if you were going to mix the peanut butter and the chocolate and get a Reese's peanut butter cup or just a big pile of mud. I think it worked out pretty well, I think, for
it
Van Halen.
It did all right, yeah.
Yeah, look, you got Eddie Van Halen playing your guitar. You're going to be okay, no matter what. Yeah. I mean, if Eddie were still around, he would be doing that Geico commercial that Slash is on right now, you know, where they're not Slash. Who's?
No, it is Slash.
It is Slash. Okay, is playing the opening guitar licks from Sweet Child of Mine. And they're like, stop, you're in. You got the part. Would love to see. Eddie could have been doing that as well. One final history note. Avengers Endgame was released this day in 2019. That movie's 4 years old already. Wow. Dethroning James Cameron's Avatar as the highest grossing film of all time. However, if you adjust for inflation, what movie is still the champion in
Titanic.
Terms of the highest grossing film? You want to guess?
Titanic?
No. It's a movie from 1939.
Oh.
Figured it out yet? And it's not. It's not The Wizard of Oz, which also came out in 1939. Gone with the Wind. If you adjust for inflation, Gone with the Wind is still the highest grossing movie of all time. Aaron, you a fan?
I still haven't seen it. And I really want to because it's so important in movie history. It was like basically the first big blockbuster hit.
And it's always interesting to me to see, you know, if a movie stands the test of time or is it something you watch it once and you go, okay, I've seen it. Melissa, I've done you a horrible injustice and I've left you about 10 seconds to tell me who's on locally grown radio next for you.
Well, we are talking with Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel today, and we'll have our wonderful community media in to record. But I just want to put in a plug for local radio and how important it is for us to be able to communicate with our listeners through radio. It's great to have Facebook, too. But
amen, amen, amen.
We love our radio listeners.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Back with more after this.